Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. Always good to see everybody. I love that. So we're going to turn this down just a little bit. There we go. All right. We have just been, we're just rolling through Exodus. It is just absolutely just a wonderful, wonderful book. And, you know, we don't have much longer to go through it. And it's absolutely wonderful. And of course, reading in the Bible myself, we just have rolled through Leviticus and then Joshua, and now we're coming up to Judges in my own private reading. But this is wonderful. Let's get to it. We are on page 89 of the King James Bible, Exodus 18, but we're actually starting at chapter 17. So join along and let's see if, and do try to remember, I'm not a pastor, priest, deacon, rabbi, anything. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible and loves to share God's word as best as I can. The Bible's open to so much interpretation. How I see things might be a little bit different than what you see things, but the beauty of it is that even if you're seeing something different, you're still reading and worshiping God's love, his mercy, his grace, and that's the most important part. So keep that in mind. There's, you know, no really right or wrong way as long as it's you've embraced and love God's word. And as I always say, the Bible to me is just the most incredible, true, factual love story ever documented, not only with science and scripture and artifacts, and just everything. It just reproves itself through and through, through the whole course of the Bible. And that's the wonderful thing. There's, you know, over 63,000 different cross references from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I think it's just wonderful how God works. And hopefully I convey anything decent or, you know, just inspiration to get you to read the Bible and read it again and again and again throughout your entire life. Don't ever quit reading it. I don't care if you finished it and said, okay, that's done. No, it's never done. It's like schooling. You know, it's like your relationships, and it's the most important. I mean, is there a time in your life, and I ask everyone this honestly, where you just stop loving or giving up and think that you've done enough in a relationship? And we've all been guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. But in truth is, with God, it's different. With Christ God, it is very different, because that relationship cannot be severed, will not be severed, unless you choose to do so. And that's the wonderful thing about it. So for me, it's got to be over and over and over again, which I love. All right, let's get to it. Chapter 17, that's where we left off. And, you know, he's leading the people. Moses is leading the people here. And, you know, next to him is Aaron. And here we go. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. And why did they have to journey from the wilderness of Sin? Why are they doing this? Well, they made a calf. They were stiff-necked. They rebelled against God, even though he brought them out of Egypt. And he kept telling them, why do you keep testing me? Why do you keep doing these things? You know, you're a stiff-necked people. And God said, none of you will see, because there's been many times where I'm sure, you know, Moses has tried to intercede for us. And intercession is a great thing. You know, it's not a bad thing at all. And we have to understand that. And they didn't want to come and face God and hear him at the mountain. So, you know, at the mount. So, you know, they were afraid of him. No, you talk to us. And even though Moses gave the direct commands God gave him for obedience and everything else, they lacked through and through. They just weren't able to do it. They're human. And we're all human. And we all make mistakes. They made it over and over and over and over again. The same as us today. We're no different. And that's the wonderful thing at the Bible. And according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? They're sitting here arguing with him. They're sitting here chiding, arguing, demanding. And Moses is saying, no, don't do this. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. Now they're talking bad about him. And said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? A little over-exaggerated, you know what I'm saying? And just, they're self-indulging people that we're seeing at this time. You know, a little bit over-dramatic. And let's see how Moses handles this. Through God. You know, of course, everything that Moses is doing is from God. Okay? Moses is the tool. God is the wield. He guides him all along the way. So let's see how it's handled. And the people thirsted, as it said, and murmured against Moses. And now we're here at Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people that they be almost ready to stone me? And they are. They've acted this way. I mean, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take thee with thy with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Again, they're wanting proof and everything else that God is with them. God has been with them. When it's the problem is that not if God is with them, when are they with God? And that's why they got the names. And, you know, it happened in the place of Massah and Meribah because the chiding. That's why it's called the name it's called, because of their bad behavior. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight. Fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Very interesting here. He's showing, God is showing his power. Every time that Moses has his hands up, holding the rod, has his hands up, they're defeating Amalek, okay? And then when he starts to bring his hands down, they're getting defeated by Amalek. I mean, he is showing the power. I can do this. I'm going to show you. Here's a prime example of what is happening. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And what does he mean by that? Write it in a book. And he's chosen Joshua here. Did you notice that? He has chosen Joshua. And he says, right here, and we're on verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Remind him. constantly remind him how this went. When your hands were up, praising to me, putting your hands towards heaven, Joshua, I want you to remember, you were winning the battle. When his hands fell, you were losing the battle. And Joshua, in good faith, is still fighting the battle because the Lord has made it so. Not because Joshua has made it so, but because Joshua is now the tool. God is going through Moses and using Joshua to defeat the Amalek. So here we go. And he wants to, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The Amalekites, why? Because they are not God-following. They worship other idols. They do the things they did. The Amalekites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, all of them. All right? All of them have been in wicked ways against God's, worshiping false idols, doing the lusts, the orgies, the different things that they're doing, okay? They are not obedient to God. They are not following God and worshiping him. Kind of like Pharaoh, where he thought he was a god himself. So understand, this is going to be a continuation here. And they're going to be dealt with because they're not just fighting with Moses. They're fighting against God. God is dealing with them every single time, and the same results every single time. God will continue to defeat them over and over again. Why? Because he's the most powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent. You know, it's just incredible what God does. So now we're on chapter 18, preserved from chaos. And we're right here, same page, 89, King James Bible. When Jethro and the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. And her two sons, which were the name, one of Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in this strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with the sons and his wife unto Moses, unto the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said to Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, have come up to thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. You know, he is giving him a little bit of, it's a respect. It's a love. He gave the love of his life, you know, his daughter to Moses. So, you know, he owes him a debt of gratitude, respect, love. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. So he's telling them everything that's been going on from the time that he had to before he even, you know, went into Egypt and everything else. He had taken him along for the journey, given him a very descript, account of all these things that has happened. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So now they're, after hearing the stories and everything else, Jethro is praising God, as he should, okay? And they're all breaking bread together. What is this breaking bread? What is this? And presenting it to God and breaking bread. Where have we seen this before? Well, in the New Testament, when Christ did that, he said, this is my body, and took a sip of the wine. This is my blood. This is my covenant with you. So we had right here the same thing going on, you know, everything praising Christ God. So here we go. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning into the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? He's questioning him. Why are you trying to handle all of this by yourself? You need to just deal with God. And what are we going to do here? Okay, you just can't do it all. You have to understand there has to be help. And there has to be where we're working together, a togetherness. So here we go. Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Whatever their problem is, he's the one trying to handle it, and then doing it from what he has learned from God. So my question is, doing that, as part of my Bible here has broken off on the bottom. But here we go. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. He's telling him, it's too much. You're doing too much to handle this by yourself. Thou will surely wear away, both you and the people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. It's too demanding of a task. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. And notice he says that. God shall be with thee. Listen to what I'm telling you. This is an awful lot. This is not exactly what God is asking you to do from my perspective. And God is with thee. He's still with you. But understand something. Let me show you a new way here, and that you can handle things that is still doing exactly what God said. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, and that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, because nothing's too big for God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk. Not they should walk, they must walk, following Christ God, following God. I call him Christ God because I've read the Bible all the way through numerous times. So I'm sorry, I get into that habit because it's the truth. However, here we go. And work with that they must do. He's putting some of the responsibility back on these people who have chided him, who have been stiff-necked to God, saying, this is your burden now. I want you to understand something. I'm going to handle this, but you need to be responsible, not only to yourselves, but we're going to put people in charge of you or you know, to lead you also that know the way of the Lord. So here we go. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people all the seasons, that it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and thou shalt bear the burden with thee. So let the people that are in charge, that you're putting in charge, handle those things that are the small things. If they get something that's too big for them, let them come to you, and then you judge them. Okay, then you turn around and be the judgment of that issue or whatever that problem may arise along the way. Therefore, lightening your load instead of you handling every trivial thing. These people have to be held accountable for themselves. They have to know and should know, okay? They're required to know God's covenants, know God's laws, know God's commands, and be obedient to that along the way. And that's so important that thank God for his father-in-law, Jethro, to come along and say, hey, listen, hey, wait a minute here. This is way too much for you to bear. So here we go. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law, and he did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. And they judged the people all the seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but very small matters they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. What a blessing that Jethro is and was, because God sent him to help Moses along the way. Maybe whisper in his ear and say, listen, God is with you. But I've heard you say, what am I going to do with these people? And we heard this. These people wanted water. Moses said, what am I going to do with these people? They have frustrated me. They have humiliated me, belittled me, degraded me. What am I going to do with these people? He heard him. And as always, God listens to us all the time. And he responded as he always does. When has God never been faithful? When has God never been there in our lives? If we pray to him, even at the most difficult times, even when we're having good times, where do you think that comes from? When we're blessed, boy, do we sure forget the Lord, don't we? It's the first thing that we do. Okay, everything's going great. And when things get hard, we're like, whoa, I need to go to the Lord instead of valuing Christ God all the time, which we're supposed to do. And we're seeing this here. It's a prime example. So the people that are in charge of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens understand something. They can handle those small matters. The big matters, you know, fine, bring it to me. I will get counsel from God and, you know, let them know this is how this will be. Well, those big things will eventually turn into the small things that those same people can, handle, because now they know. So it'll be very great big things that'll come to Moses. So here we are, chapter 19 now, page 90, King James Bible. We're at the location of the giving of the covenant. Now here it is. This is where it's all going to come. Where it's all going to come true. So let's get to it. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and they come to the desert of Sinai, and it had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did in Egypt to the Egyptians, and how I bear on and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. I'm putting you right here. You're with me. I'm putting you right here with me. I've showed you what I did to the Egyptians. I've showed you on the whole trip these wonderful miracles and everything else. And I've showed you everything, miraculous wonders. And you're soaring like eagles, right on their wings and right by me. So now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, special. Okay? It's special. Who owns the earth? God does. Not Satan. No. And people make this mistake because they believe this myth that Satan, you know, owns the earth. He does not. Even when he tempted Jesus, he said, I will give all these kingdoms and land in them or whatever unto you. Well, he can't. It's not yours to give. You might sit here and rule it, but you can't give it because whose is it? Well, let's go right to it. And you shall do, and it says right here, therefore, obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, and ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's verse 5, chapter 19. That settles that matter. But you can see that cross-referencing from the New Testament back to the Old. Again, we're seeing this all over the place. Don't look at just the words when you're reading. I want you to understand. You have to look at all the different things going on in the background. And what are those different things? And you're seeing it with the people. Oh, we're chiding Moses. We're arguing with him. We're doing all these things. These things are important. They have to be there. Where are they at? They're in the wilderness. They have not reached that promised land yet. God's bringing up Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. I mean, it is incredible of everything that is going on. It's really cool. That's where this story, it's just got depth everywhere, and it's wonderful. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people. These are the people he put in charge now, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Moses is reporting back to them. Where do we see that? Well, we still cross references, right? Joseph always reported back what his brothers were doing to their father, to Jacob. And it's very interesting because you're seeing these patterns, always reporting back, always doing these things with God. And Moses did the same thing. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today. And tomorrow let them be wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you not go up into the mound or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mound shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were hundreds, or that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, notice he said, come to me as individuals, not your wives or anything. All of you will come, and all of you understand something will come because you're approaching me. It's most holy. It's at the mount. Do not approach it or touch it, because your goose is cooked. Then Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke therefore ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. The whole mountain is trembling, because God can do that. He can, the whole earth, if he wants, anything. And the fire that God produces, there's just smoke everywhere. And by the day, they will see the smoke. And by night, he will light the fire of himself to guide them so that they can see. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds for the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said to him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through and come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spoke to them. He's telling them exactly what God is saying here. The commanding relating to God, chapter 20, page 92, King James Bible. And God spoke all the words, saying, I am, and there it is again, I am. So important. I am what I am. We know this. But you notice he says, I am the Lord thy God. Out of the house of bondage, I have brought you forth out of your troubles, not mine. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You are my people. And that's it. They belong to him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He's making it clear. If you are worshiping other gods, you will be punished. And you will be punished to the third and fourth generation. He's letting it know too. I am a jealous God. I don't want you worshiping anyone else, because there is nobody else. I am God. I created everything. It is mine. And he's giving them these Ten Commandments. He's breaking it down from them all along here. After showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, thy God, in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it, made it sacred. And the interesting part here is, as he's going through this, he is breaking it down. But what is he also doing? It's all inclusive for anyone that is with you. You are my holy people, my chosen people, and I'm giving you these commands. But anyone within your area is here to listen to my commands, worship me, obey me, be obedient. And that's how he wants it. And to honor me, for I created all this in 6 days. I rested on the seventh. And we all question, why did God have to rest? Well, God doesn't have to rest, but he did. He's not under, what is resting? What exactly is that? Is that a poetic way of saying, okay, he was tired? God doesn't get tired. God doesn't need rest. He doesn't need sleep, okay? God is always awake. God always sees everything, hears everything, knows everything. I mean, imagine the entire world. There's not a thing he doesn't know. He knows all the number of bees, ants, insects, fish in the sea. He knows everything, the way the wind blows, the tide goes, how many grains of sand are in the ocean. He knows every blade of grass, every tree, every leaf that falls from the tree when the season changes it. There is nothing, every snowflake, individual, every single one. We know this. How? Science. Everything that's in space, the universe, which is ever expanding. You think he needs rest? No. It's a poetic way of saying, he looked back. I can't say for sure. I don't think any of us can, because how could we possibly have God's mind and know his thinking? But the way I look at it, the way I'm interpreting it, which is just an interpretation, maybe you know it differently, but I'm saying he's looking back and saying, this is good. This is a good thing. And that's what he's doing. So therefore, as he's looking at everything that he's done in this vast array of everything that he's created, and these are his people, he has chosen them, he's looking back and he's liking it. Therefore, have the respect of what I've done. Be obedient to me. Listen to my covenants. Listen to my laws. Listen to my commands. Have that same respect. The way I look back and are looking over you and everything within this world and every place else. Remember, he's out of time, space, and matter. He can go through it, in it, around it. So yeah, but this is special to him. At least that's how I'm interpreting it, to where he sat back and gazed at it. And it's just a different way of looking at it. How you see it might be a totally different way. That's a wonderful thing about the Bible. And he's telling you why you're doing that on Sundays. It is hallowed. He's hallowed it. It's holy. It's to be honored, respected, praised. Now he's making the commandments. That's his commandments relating to God. That's all his commandments, just relating to him. Now, what about the commandments to us? Let's get into it. The commandments relating to man. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So he's laid out the Ten Commandments now, and they're out there. And these last ones here are strictly for us. And we have to, all of them are God's laws to obey them. But you saw the beginning part is how we are to command relating the commandments relating to him. And then the next batch is relating to us. And you ask, why the separate ones? Because God has told you, he is a jealous God. Do not worship anyone else. You will worship me. Okay? And you know, I am thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make graven images, stones, wood, anything like that. Worshiping other gods, anyone else, or try to create an image of God. You know what? We're already created in the image of God. Why do we need something else to praise and worship to? And we didn't, people don't understand that. But if you cross-reference it, Old Testament to Old Testament, and go back to Adam, and we know this, create him in our image. God says that, in our image. And people are like, who is our? Well, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's exactly how I am interpreting that. That's our. Which is what? One. It's the Trinity. It is God. So understand that. And they are all in agreement. We know that from the reference going to the New Testament. And they are all in agreement. And the people, this is the response of Israel, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They backed off. They were scared. Okay? They marveled and moved away from it. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Well, they feared him. Well, they're supposed to fear him. That's right. Fear the Lord. That is the understanding in the beginning of us understanding God. First, respecting him and fearing him. Enough to say, I'm not going to do these things because I'm afraid of what will happen to me, myself, and others if you don't do this. So fear is not a bad thing in this part. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. That's the point. Don't sin. You see the power he has. So therefore fear him, because you know it. You see it firsthand. You have seen it firsthand. Now you're seeing the might and strength. He's shaking the mountain. I'd be terrified. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen, in all the places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shall go up by steps unto my altar, that my namesake not be discovered by my nakedness, not be discovered thereon. The reason that he doesn't want it hewn or molded or anything else is because We can't sit there and say, okay, we did this for God. Look at us. We did this for God. Okay. And God is here. We're putting our egos and our pride aside. God is telling you, no, don't, you're not doing this. Okay. I will be with you. But I'm telling you, just use it from the regular stone, regular earth, and everything else. Sacrifice unto me. Okay. Don't climb stairs to try to get to me. It's not going to happen. Don't do it. Don't use your builder's tool and think you're some kind of great craftsman and you took part in this to get to me. No. He's making it clear. Now, these are the judgments which thou set before them, the rulings. Thou shalt buy, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and on the seventh shall he go free for nothing. And that's going to go forward, and we're going to see this in Jeremiah again, in Jeremiah 34:13 later on in the Bible. Again, there's that cross-referencing. 6 years shall he work, and then on the seventh year he shall go free. Well, God created the earth in 6 days. On the seventh, he hallowed it, right? He rested or gazed at it, however you determine that you want to see it. But that is why this is said this way. You can you see the numerology here now. Put it together, and you're going to see this throughout the Bible. It's very interesting, and a lot of times I'm catching it, and I'm like, wow, okay, that explains a lot. There's so much to see, and I enjoy it so much. That's the cool thing about it. I love it because I'm trying to always dig deeper and try to get some understanding as I interpret it. Okay, that might, like I said, it might not be the way you do, but how I'm seeing it. And the more that I'm putting together on it, the cooler it is. It's just awesome. God's word is just awesome, and I love it. And all right, let's get on. Because I could talk about this and just, I get overexcited. And if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have bore him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him unto the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore before his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. It's funny how it's the doorposts again, right? And we're going to poke a hole with an awl through his ears, because he wants to do this forever and work for his master. His master's been good to him, respected him, loved him, and he's got a wife and kids and everything else, and he's willing to do this. So therefore, and I love this, therefore, he is saying, I've decided to do this for my master, and I'm happy, and I don't want to change it. So he's getting pierced. And I go back. I see this so many different ways. And I go back and I think about the blood on the doorposts and above the door. And, you know, God passed by at the Passover. And then I look at it also that he doesn't, you know, on the seventh year, he's decided that he is going to stay, which to me is like an invitation to fully command and, give in to God's commands and obey and everything else. So I look at it so many different ways. There's so many different ways that I see it, and I could be totally wrong. Maybe, like I said, if you have confusion on it or whatever, always go to your priest, pastor, rabbi, deacon, anyone, and they can elaborate way better than I can. So, then this matter shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him unto the door, like we said, and have the awl go through his ear. If a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the maidservants do. If she please not her master, who hath bethroned her to himself, then he shall let her, here we go, this is an important part right here, let her be redeemed to sell her unto a strange nation, and he shall have no power, seeing that he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. So if he's taking him more than one wife, understand something, you have responsibilities to your first wife too. Now you have it for both wives. So if he taketh him another wife, her food, her raiment, and the duty of marriage shall not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then she shall go out freely without money. If he's not going to do these things, she's free to go. He's going to hold that person responsible, if he doesn't do it. But if a man presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Notice how the commandments are also aligning with the rules that he's laying out with them. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lieth about. All these things he's laying out. He's breaking down completely. And he's doing it right in connections with the commandments. If he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod and he die under his hand, he shall permanently be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. So if she has a miscarriage or anything else, understand something. They're going to be punished. That person that did this is going to be punished because it's still murder. So it's following this. If any mischief follow, then thou shalt give the life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. We're going to see this. What is this? Deuteronomy 19:21, Matthew 5:38. There's your cross references again. In Matthew, it's very interesting because Christ at one time says, when he's questioned by the Pharisees, surely, surely, I tell you, truly, truly, I tell you that, and he's going to go back and say, love your enemies, pray for them, and, don't do these things. And if you're thinking about doing something, have you already committed murder in your mind? It's very interesting because it's so spiritual. And that's the one thing. And Paul tells us in Romans 12, we're to have a renewed mind, transfigured, okay? Changed. So that is absolutely wonderful too. We need to think spiritually, okay? Understand, and it's all the way through, even in Matthew. Protect yourself. Put on the full armor of God. It's important. Pick up the shield so that you can withstand the fiery darts that were constantly thrown at us. And Paul comes back and says, listen, this is against principalities. This is against the different things, the demons of the world. Okay, the spiritual forces. But anyway, let's get on to this, because like I said, I can talk about this forever. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe, which is getting whipped. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. You do that, you hurt him, and something like that happens, and he's free no longer. He's not serving you. So that, I think that's important. And it's the same thing for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned. And if his flesh shall not be eaten by the owner of the ox, shall be quit. But if the ox were and won't push with his horn in time past, that it hath been testified to his owner, and that he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death, because he didn't prevent it. He didn't have it locked up. And therefore, it gored somebody, hurt somebody, understand, and you did nothing about it, you're responsible for it. And if they relayed on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to his judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto the master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. The rights of property. If a man shall open a pit or a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurts another's that he may die, then he shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall they divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push a habit of doing this in times past, then his owner shall not keep him in. He shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. If you know that this is happening and you're not doing anything about it, so understand there's punishments for that too, and you owe. Anyway, we're going to stop here. It's chapter 22, and let's put that down here. And I love God's commands. He's telling you how it's going to be. Notice he's breaking it up with the animals too. And we have seen this throughout the Bible, that God's not just including man and everything in it or his chosen people. Notice he planted a garden and Adam tended it. The whole earth is a living thing. The earth itself, the animals, us, and the Israelites, they're his. But understand, we're the Gentiles. We're, but we're all loved by him and we all love him. And the cool thing about it is it's a whole living world. And that's why I said, he rested or he was gazing at what he created. It's really cool. Anyway, we're going to get on to King James Bible, Exodus, page 94, chapter 22, this next week. This is 120, 25. I'm still getting used to writing that. And we're going to stop there. The cool thing about the Bible is, even though it's so hard, I struggle with the names and the places and everything in it. And I apologize for that, but I struggle so much. I ask God to help me on that and to help me share his word. And it's important. I hope that you can pick it up. Read it like I am. I would hope that you could do. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you, I read it like a poetic love story. The theology in it, the parallelisms and everything else in it. What an incredible, incredible gift to us. And that's what it is. Okay, the Bible is our gift. understand that God has given this to us to explore, to learn, to take in. And that's the cool thing about it. And that's why, oh man, it just gives me shivers on the back of my neck when I think about that, that God loved us so much that he put his word for us to follow, his laws, his commands for us to follow in this book. It's our lifetime lesson book, basic instruction before leaving earth. Well, it's biblical instruction before leaving earth. Okay. Big instruction before leaving earth. So enjoy it. Be good to one another. Love one another. And that's what we're supposed to do as best as we can. Go Buckeyes tonight. So I hope Ohio State can win the football game tonight. On a side note, just a little fun. Pray for no team to have any injuries or anything else. Let it be a fun game. But I'm a Buckeye through and through. So go Buckeyes. But thank you most importantly and above all for sharing God's word. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful night. Wonderful, wonderful week. Thanks for tuning in.